Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode number 65. Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Gabe Jones. This is a show that's by the fans and for the fans, and we've got a great show for you today. We've got Aaron Boyd on the show. Aaron Boyd is a guy that wrote a track that some of you, a lot of you have probably heard, named God of the City. He was part of a band called Blue Tree many years ago. Of course, a lot of people know God of the City from Chris Tomlin's rendition, but it was originally written by Aaron Boyd and performed by Blue Tree. And we get to talk with him later on in this show. We talk about a lot of great things. You'll have to stick around and listen to that a little bit later on. Guys, I can't believe it is June. It's unbelievable how fast this year has gone. But it is June. Season 2 of the Decent Christian Talk podcast is winding down. I think we only have one episode left in this season. And then we'll take a little bit of a break before we head into Season 3. This has been such a really great season. We've had so many great artists on. Just a lot to talk about over the last few years. But season 2 was really special for us. And we really hope that if you haven't checked out some of those episodes, go back into the archives and check that out. You can go and check all those past episodes out at decentchristiantalk.com. If you'd like to join our Patreon page, you could do that at patreon.com. That's another great place where you can catch all of our old episodes. Just go to patreon.com/decentchristiantalk, and for as low as a dollar a month, you can join our team. It helps support our podcast by helping cover some of our costs. Unfortunately, it does cost money to run a show like this, but just a little support by you guys has kept us on the air, and your continued support will continue to help us grow and continue to run. And we just really greatly appreciate those of you that have already joined our team on Patreon, and we would hopefully welcome some of you that are thinking about doing that. You know, maybe in season 3 we'll have some bonus episodes for the Patreon contributors. We'll see how that goes. If you are not into doing like the monthly pledge thing, you're not really sure about that. If you'd rather do a one-time gift, you can go to decentchristiantalk.com, and on the right-hand side of the website there's a donate button, and you can donate through your PayPal account. And once again, thank you for those of you that have already donated to us. And we just really encourage you to think about doing that, and especially if you've been listening for a while, that would, even every little bit helps. Getting into our interview with Aaron Boyd, he is a guy from Belfast, Ireland. Got to catch him on a local tour stop. He's with an organization called World Orphan, and we got to talk with him after a show. And it was really cool to sit down and talk with him about, you know, kind of the process of writing God of the City, and then seeing where that ended up, and kind of what he's doing now. But I will just let you hear it for yourself. Without further ado, here is our interview with Aaron Boyd.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
What's your name?
Aaron Boyd.
Aaron Boyd, you're not from around here.
No, I'm from Belfast, Northern Ireland.
That is across the pond, as they say. Is this the first time you've been to West Virginia?
I think I think, do you know, when I first started coming over here, it was all a bit of a blur. We were literally driving everywhere, and I was actually the only person old enough to drive like the rental vehicles, so I did all the driving. So I have a funny feeling I might have driven through, but I don't think I've played in West Virginia
that
before.
That seems
so
to be a lot of people, like they've driven through to get to somewhere, and do you like it?
Oh, well, listen, we had an absolute blast. We arrived late last night, and then got up this morning, because we were going whitewater rafting.
Yeah.
And found myself, actually, then I ended up finding myself in Pennsylvania somehow. It was like, okay, how did that all happen? But when we were just driving around, it's incredible. Like, the views are spectacular.
Yeah. I've lived here my whole life, and I don't get used to it. It's great. And I hear Ireland is the same way. Like,
the west coast of Ireland is mind-blowing. And if you're into Star Wars, Luke has been chilling in the Jedi Temple. That's an island off the west coast of Ireland. So it used to be where monks worshipped and prayed for over 200 years.
And Bono's from there.
Yeah, Bono. Who else? Robin Mark.
Yeah.
Rain Collective.
Yeah.
Foy Vance. If you didn't know Foy Vance at all. It's just loads of great people are from Northern Ireland. It's legit.
You a soccer fan?
No, I'm a rugby guy.
Oh.
Well, Ireland beat the United States today in soccer. So.
Oh, there we go.
Course, you guys prevail with soccer. So I saw you had a picture with Toby Mac on Facebook. Was DC Talk big in Ireland back in the day?
Well, yeah, when I was like 17, 18 years old, that was whenever Jesus Freak landed.
Yeah.
So I was in Canada and Toby Mac was playing at the festival thing or the youth conference, YC. Good friend Mike Love, Extreme Dream, they've been doing that for 24 years, so he's played there a bunch of years. And then actually when we landed here, I flew from Belfast on Tuesday and stayed with my friend who was also in DC Talk, Michael Tate.
Oh yeah.
So went and stayed in his house. But like years ago when we first ever met, about 10 years ago, I think I was in Germany with the Newsboys, like with Michael. I wasn't with the Newsboys, but we just happened to be in the same place. And then whoever put the event on was doing it in two locations. So we all jumped in this like big bus together, big double-decker bus. So we were just hanging out in this conversation and like Jesus Freak came up. And I was like, you know, it's like on my bucket list to do the rap. And the manager burst out laughing and I just eyeballed him. I was like, no, I want to do the rap. And he's like, do you know it? And I was like, yeah, I will slay this, no sweat. I didn't tell my guys that were playing for me. And then I just come running onto the stage. Oh, there was a mountain of desert. I would just give it. And after that, any time like I was in close proximity with the Newsboys or we were at the same event together, they would let me like run on and do the rap.
Oh man, that's awesome.
It was brilliant. People would be like, it's Toby. Then they would look a little bit more.
Hey, like, Toby's got a weird headset now.
Man, that's a big Toby Mac. That's a Big Mac.
So Tate's house is like bigger than probably a lot of venues you've played in.
Yeah, it's like a French sort of style building. Yeah. It's lovely. The guy is a total sweetheart.
Yeah,
like,
they're nice.
One of the most incredible guys.
Yeah.
Like totally hospitable. Took us out for dinner and just you know, there was four of us landed on his doorstep and we've all walked away from that. Like, you know, sometimes you can see people and they're all over the place and, you know, and they're really busy and they're ready for them, but he genuinely loves people. He's a great guy.
He's a cool
guy. He's got lots of cool stories, man. Like, you know,
oh,
he's
yeah.
like lots of cool
and
stories.
And he's really open, too. Like, he'll talk to anybody.
I imagine he probably has the best smelling house out of anyone.
he does smell.
Creed Aventus, man. Creed Aventus changed my life. Yeah.
So, of course, you're from Ireland. So, how did you come to America? Like, I know you've been touring here with recently, but, like, I know you were in Blue Tree. How did that story all start?
So, like, Blue Tree started in my, like, in my youth group where I, you know, had this idea where I got everyone to lie down on the ground and I told this story. It was all my peers and, you know, our church was like, have at it, you know, just have a go. And if it's great, it's great. If it's not, so we'll all laugh together. Do you know what I mean? We'll still leave each other, love each other at the end of it, you know. It was the beauty about that era, you know, that kind of real strong, charismatic era where, you know, it's like we can always like madly, like theologically probably like write everything off, but man, I just think God was looking down on those days, like in our small world in East Belfast, and he was just looking at a bunch of his kids just having fun. Do you know what I mean? Like in his honest fun of like trying to pursue the Father's heart. So I had like my friend like DJ, And then I like hid in the corner of the room and I was like, imagine you're in a forest, you know, you're walking through a wood and it's green. And you know, and then it's like, and all of a sudden you come across a blue tree. And it was like, and it stood out and it was different. And you're called to stand out, you're called to be different. And that was literally the idea.
Yeah.
And because it's half weird, giving like yourself, like band a name, like your own name, it was like, well, what do you think of blue tree? And the guys that were playing were like, oh, whatever, let's do it. Like, that was literally it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, we started to play a bit more. And, you know, definitely at that time in Northern Ireland, if you were, like, a Christian musician who could half sing a tune and play the click track, I mean, you were, like, the best musicians on the planet kind of thing, you know? So I managed to find, like, four or five of them. So that was it, you know, like, drummer. Like, me and him went to school for years together, and he was a total bass comfy. And then this whole mission trip thing all happened. I ended up going to Pattaya, Thailand, ended up in this crazy scenario in a brothel, wrote the song God of the City. Tomlin was in Belfast, we were opening up, and his guitar player heard the song, freaked out, went and told Chris. Chris then loved it. Lou Giglio gets involved, and all of a sudden then lots and lots of people are hearing this story about these dudes that were in a brothel with their missions pastors, and this song was written, and it became like the title track for the Passion Movement and all this stuff. So, you know, and I was a window cleaner at the time, and it was like, yeah, oh, hi, here, it's Chris Dalton, and you know, and it was like, he phoned me and all, you know, and I was like, what's going on? So a lot of learning, doors opened really, really quick, and kind of spent about 2 years, when I was 25, I actually left my job, which was a retail job. Just I used to sell like outdoor gear, climbing gear, kayaks, all that stuff. And for about the next 2.5 years, it was just small steps of faith and starting to travel a bit and starting to do that. And now I'm 37, so from basically from like 27 till now, I've been like, I don't even want to say full time. I would class myself as a musicianary.
Yeah.
So the idea of, you know, just big old hard ticket sales and running, I'm in the music industry, but I don't want to be in the music industry. It's, and I don't want to even belittle the whole thing and go like I'm in the ministry, or because it's everyone's doing the same thing in lots of ways, but there's just a certain level that I do not want to cross and go past. Not in terms of like, I don't even, you know, use the word success. It's just about
like the business side of it.
Yeah, and time invested in the whole thing. Which might sound like a bit of a cop-out, but it's not, because family for me, it's like I'm married and I have three girls. When I'm away, I'm away.
Mm.
And when I'm home, I'm home.
Mm.
So when I'm away for 2 weeks, the problem is, I mean, I can't really do like 9-week tours, you know what I mean? It's hard for me to do some of these longer tours, last for whatever. And they'll do like 4 days on, 3 days off, 4 days on, 3 days off. So if you're on that, it's cool, and you live close, you can go home for 3 days. I can't. There's no point in me flying home for 3 days, turn around and come back. So so plus it's just this kind of really crazy, you know, industry at times, you know, but I love it, absolutely love it. We were in Nashville for all day meetings just about how do we actually blow this up, how do we try and get as big a reach as we can. That never equates to fame or notoriety, but a bigger reach. How do we do that? How do we begin to dream about what we're trying to do and the message that we feel like we carry, and the journeys and the experiences and the honesty and the whole thing? How do we reach greater numbers than what we're just doing ourselves? So it's been very exciting.
So a little personal story on my side. I was in China probably about 8 years ago, and it was like out in the suburbs, like nobody had ever seen foreigners where we were at. There was like one traffic light. It was like an agricultural, rural area, and I found a guitar. I play guitar, and there was a bunch of us Americans, and we played a bunch of, you know, country roads. We played a couple popular songs that everybody knew, and we kind of designated, like, the end. I did a rendition. I had to change the words a little bit, but I did God of the City.
Sweet.
In the middle of this town, and there was, like, so people in that town had never seen foreigners, so people were just flocking to the middle of town to hear us, and it was really one of the coolest moments that I've ever been a part of. And I wanted to share that with you, and that was just awesome. That's one of the coolest moments, and I think about that all the time. But how has it been for you? I mean, I'm sure you've heard all kinds of stories like that since you wrote that song. How has that been for you? To kind of slow down and get on people's levels and hear those stories. What does that do for you to kind of keep you energized and focused on you know, what you're doing?
I mean, it is mind blowing. It was only when, it's kind of like the idea of like holding on to it. You'll just miss so much, you know. It's like songs can be everywhere all at the same time, you know what I mean? But a person can only be, it's like, I think that's why Jesus was so like cool and going like, yo dude, it's way better that I leave here, because I can really only be in the one place at the one time. But when I go, I'm going to send you this guy, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to be everywhere and everyone, do you know what I mean? And he's going to be present in everywhere across the planet. So that's what songs are kind of like, do you know what I mean? And that song had a life. I think it was God just reminding the church that we are called to be his hands and his feet, regardless of our circumstances, scenarios, or where we are. That's what we're here to do. We're called to just, like, you know, be his hands and his feet on this earth and reach out and make a difference wherever we are. So whether it's school, work, rest, play, whatever it is, we can do that. And I've heard bunches of stories, like genuinely ones that I've just went, are you actually serious? One time these people emailed me and they were like, can we sing, you know, You're the God of These Islands, because it was being sung in like Fiji or something like that. Yeah. I was like, dude, absolutely. And by the way, can I come to Fiji and sing it there? You know what I mean? Yeah. So just loads, like just one that sticks out was a guy went to kill himself in his car with an exhaust thing in the garage, and when he turned the car on to do it, it was on the radio. And fast forward then, I ended up in this big church, and this guy kind of skipped up to me, and he was like, you know my dad? And I was like, right. And he was like, yeah, my dad like wept on your shoulder. And I was like, are you? He's like, yeah. So the dude went to seminary, and now he's this like young adults pastor of a mega church, you know. And lo and behold, about 4 or 5 years later, he was going about to kill himself, you know, and the song pops up. So it's like, but people own it. That's with any song that you write, you know. It's like, this big song for me next is Jericho, but like I wrote like Jesus Healer, and just like when people own these songs, you know, that's sort of, you know, people that are sitting and they're like, they're half dying in life through whatever, and they're singing like, you know, by your stripes and wounds, you know, that you make me whole. It's like people have to own that in that moment, and I have to believe it. If I can't believe in my own songs, then I can't ask anyone else to. Do you know what I mean? And I genuinely, all the songs that I would write, I really believe in, and would write the same way. That's the thing. All, like, a load of the songs, 95% of my songs are all kind of written the same way as God of the City. But that was just this really kind of special context, you know, where it was like Beauty for Ashes was kind of the same. It was in Cambodia, sang that tonight. And that was just, you know, a whole bunch of girls that were there that had all been rescued out of human trafficking, and it just began to sing out, you know, you've given us beauty for ashes, a love and a mercy that wipes our tears away, grace for tomorrow and hope for today, beauty for ashes always, you know. And I'm like, oh wow, that has to be the Lord, because I failed all my English exams, you know. So you just kind of record that one and park it, you know. So what is it, 80% perspiration, 20% inspiration. I just keep all the 20% and try and piece them together.
So you're here with an organization called, is it World Orphans?
World Orphans.
Why don't you tell us about that, and why is that important to you?
Oh, so after going to the city, it all sort of blew up, and we actually had the biggest selling Christian album for 4 weeks. And I think that was because I came over for some meetings with all the labels and all that stuff, and I just wanted to give the money away and help rescue kids. And God opened these incredible doors through a guy called Greg Lucid and Jay Hall. And we were able to do these like really cool deals. And so the album did really well. And we were able to help a whole bunch of kids out of the back of it. So after that, when I kind of had this small platform, I just said, God, whatever I can do, I always want to be someone that bridges the gap between even at times when we feel like we have it hard, or we're, you know, we're strapped for cash in life, whatever, there still is an abundance of excess in our lives. And then you parallel that with a bunch of kids, you know, that I'd seen, 5, 6, 7 year olds that are being bought and sold. There's this massive void in the middle, you know, and Ezekiel 22:30 has this picture where it's like God looks around for someone who would breach the gap. And I kind of just like that image, whether or not I've taken that out of context or not, but, you know, I see my world, our world, you know, the developed world, and then you have the developing, and then you have the bottom, I don't even want to call it the bottom of the rung, but the most fragile and the most vulnerable.
How the world views them.
Yeah, and they're there. And they're being abused and their lives are absolutely heinous. So it's like, I want to be someone that stands in the middle. So I was doing that. I was working with a couple of different organizations and had some mad trips. Got smuggled into Burma and got to sing God of the City, these dudes whose job it is to murder Christians and all. Like, it was insane. Wow. It was awesome, man. Drove across, probably shouldn't be saying that, but I drove across a river in like a dried up riverbed and just drove into the Burmese mountains whenever there was like mass genocide going on that was unpublished to the world. So met the underground church. It was phenomenal, you know. So just I'd been doing like loads of adventures, and I met actually randomly Mike Crick, who's Danielle, who was here. I know I'm looking at people on the screen, you don't know who it is, but there was a girl that was speaking tonight from World Orphans. Her boss was in Pattaya, Thailand with another one of our friends and another one of the board members. So there's three of them from World Orphans. World Orphans is based in Colorado Springs. And they had seen all the same stuff that I'd experienced. The song was written and was out for a couple of years. And one of the guys just started to play it, but he didn't know the story of it. So he's sitting a block away from where the song was written. Lo and behold, then they come back to Gaylord, Michigan. They hear the story, and Mike Crick just freaks out. And he's like, this guy's coming to Big Tiger, I need to get with him. And he met me, and then shortly after that, I was in Colorado, and he was like, Bodo, do you want to meet? And it was like the first time I was ever in a Panera Bread. We met like super early, and I fell asleep in the car park or something like that. So we met, there was me and another friend, and him and the CEO, and we just had this conversation about music and trying to do this, and I just said, listen, I'll do my thing as best that I can, and then we just tell people about what we're doing and give people the opportunity to sew in. That was it. And the guys are phenomenal. Like, they're in like 18 different countries, but they're really focusing in on five. It's a church-to-church partnership, so they partner North American churches with churches across the world. And these pastors, all the due diligence, all that stuff, are like 4-star on the Charity Navigator, and you know, it's like, you know, they get double audited and all this kind of, I mean, it's like they're totally legit dudes. But when that partnership's not there, because, you know, maybe we're sitting in a church now, but, you know, it's like they might have their own missionaries, you know, they might already give to something local, they might, and for them to try and take on something else is hard. So that church to church is a bit slower. But these pastors are already doing it. Guatemala, Haiti, India, Ethiopia. It's already being done. So when we go around, so say maybe a church in Guatemala is $400 a month to help them look after like 20 families, 20 identified families through their church. So in communities then, whenever people are being helped, the communities are always looking to the church. They're not looking to like the big white guy that just comes in and just implants something. It's always looking into the church. Health, education, trauma counseling, you know, helping out with food. It's not like a food feeding program. It just helps out with stuff. And it's about trying to, you know, it's like, what's the stat? I think the stat's something like 70% of orphans have a living relative. But the reality of it is that the relatives can't afford to keep them. So then they end up being put into places. So that's what we try to do. And it's not a child sponsorship model, because within 2 to 3 years, we have empowered the family to be self-sustaining through microloans, through enterprise. And it's just a phenomenal thing to do. But they'll take them. We do a rescue partner. So we did that tonight. So if a church in Guatemala needs $400 a month, they'll take your 25, your 25, my 25, everyone else's 25s, add that together, get $400, and then they'll help that pastor do what he does. Then, say this church is like, okay, we want to take on, you know, a church. But well, they take that church and they put that in there. But then our $400, it bounces to Ethiopia. and we launch a church in Ethiopia, right? Yeah. And your money's just bouncing all around the world, you know? And it could sit there for 2 to 3 years, and all of a sudden, this, you know, these guys are great, but when you move on to somewhere else. So it's epic. I've been to Guatemala, Haiti twice. I've been to South Africa, a bunch of places in South Africa. And then I would love to go to India. Enlightened self-interest, I love Indian food. I love Indian food. And I would love to go to Iraq. We built a school in Iraq about 2 years ago. And World Orphans managed to basically inherit like a whole bunch of refugees. And so I want to go and hang out with those guys.
Nice.
You know, the Muslims that say they love Jesus more than, than we love Jesus. Yeah. You know, and always want to talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
I think that would be absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. So how can people find you online, see your pictures of Toby Mac and all that?
Yeah. So I'm just in this like transition period where I've done the Blue Tree thing for years. So there is www.bluetreeworship.com. But just this new season in life, like of which we're all celebrating. It's not some mad band split or whatever like that. In fact, it's like actually this beautiful story that I actually really enjoy telling. Like all the way along the lines, like me and the guys are just like, who wants to go on the road, you know? And same heart, same DNA, same vision. Let's go and do this. And God's just opened doors. And then like, so one of them got married to a girl in Macon, Georgia. One of them's now a pastor in Alberta, Canada. One of them... is in, you know, Guildford, London, and you know that kind of stuff. So and then like, you know, Pete Comfey, my best mate, kind of back home, he still drums for me. We were in the Netherlands a couple of weeks ago together, you know, just doing a thing in a church. So it's all the same guys, but just over the years of traveling, God's just opened doors, and through their experience he's just put them in these really cool places. Which is great, because sometimes if I go to certain areas, we don't have to buy plane flights because they're already there, which is great. So I've just, for me and my wife and my family, doing the whole like Blue Tree thing, and people are like, oh, where's the rest of your band members or something like that? I mean, just makes it easier. Aaron Boyd is going to come and play in your church. That can look like lots of different things. So tonight was a two-piece, bunch of stems, a lot of fun. It can look like me in your living room, me jumping in with your worship team, me just hanging out with your youth group on a Friday night or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Just having a chat. It can look like me and my wife and my three kids. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So aaronboydmusic.com is up online. There's a sign-up page at the start. So until we nail the Jericho release and all that kind of stuff, it's not going to go live. But if you go there, sign up. I'm not going to bombard you with... I mean, I haven't even sent one email from it yet, so I'm not a super details-oriented person, so you're not going to be bombarded. But, you know, when I get enough, I'll shoot enough people a message and let everyone know what the crack is. And then the Blue Tree Worship one, it'll get redirected over to there. And so Aaron Boyd Music, there's a whole bunch of resources, whole like loads of songs, all of those kinds of things are there. Aaron Boyd Music on YouTube, Aaron Boyd Music, basically Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, Bert, thank you so much for spending time with us. I know you've had a long weekend, but thank you so much for taking time.
No,
safe travels.
Peace.
Yeah.
That was our interview with Aaron Boyd. It's always good to talk with an Irish brother. It's so fun to hear him talk. He's a passionate guy. He's got a lot of great stories. We could have probably talked for another 20 or 30 minutes just about even just stories from this present tour that he's doing. He's really a fun guy to talk to, and I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. It's fun to share a story of mine. A personal story from my experience with God of this city, and it was just it was really fun to kind of talk his heart and you know some of his newer songs, talk about those, and you know it's always fun to talk with guys that have written these songs that we sing in church and hear their perspective, and hope you guys really enjoyed that. Hey guys, we're going to wrap up this show. If you haven't already, check us out on Facebook, Decent Christian Talk. We got a fan page, and we also have a discussion group, Decent Christian Talk Podcast Discussion Group. We actually did
For those of you that are on that page, we actually broadcast that interview live on that Facebook page. So you got if you were on that page, you guys got a sneak preview of this interview that aired on this episode. Also check out our Twitter account, DC Talk Act 2, our Instagram, DC Talk Podcast, and of course our website, decentchristiantalk.com. If you give us your email address on that website, there's a place where you can do that and subscribe. Every single time that we post a podcast, you'll get a notification in your email about everything that we do, and that's completely free. It's a really cool way to stay in touch. You don't get any junk mail. You just get an email every time we post. Guys, I would encourage you to check out World Orphan. I would encourage you to check out Aaron Boyd. See what he's doing. I know he's got new music coming out. He's definitely an artist that you would want to check out. Support artists like that is very important. But we will catch you guys next time. Peace.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.